With less than 2 days until nominations for the presidency close, potential candidates are engaged in a frenzy of campaigning. As of now, there are only three confirmed candidates. The last time voters were faced with such a short ballot paper was 35 years ago in 1990, when Mary Robinson beat Brian Lenehan and Austin Curry. Independent candidate Gareth Sheridan had secured the support of two local authorities, but needs two more. Our northeast correspondent Mark O'Driscoll has been following proceedings at Meath County Council, which met this morning. Mark, it was close there, but Gareth Sheridan didn't get the support he needed. What happened?
Good afternoon, Rachel. Well, this turned out to be a somewhat complicated and confusing morning at Meath County Council. At one stage, it looked like councillors were going to skip hearing any presentations from presidential hopefuls this morning and instead move straight to a vote on whether or not to use their nomination in the first place. However, this was met with discontent by many in the chamber, who argued it was undemocratic and that people had put time and effort into getting their pitches ready for councillors. So ultimately, the presentations did go ahead, and the council heard from seven of the 17 people who were eligible to make their pitch to Meath County Council. One of these presentations was made by Gareth Sheridan, who was present at Bevinda House in Johnstown outside Navan this morning. And Mr. Sheridan used his pitch to say while he may not have a background in politics, he is someone who has life experience, and he also reflected on his business achievements at the age of 36. He was quizzed about these business interests too by councillors and said he would have no ongoing role whatsoever in his pharmaceutical business should he be elected President of Ireland. But this pitch wasn't to be, Rachel, and fell just short. Gareth Sheridan lost out in the end by a single vote. Councillors voted by 14 to 13 against backing Mr. Sheridan. There were five abstentions and eight of the 40 councillors were not present today. These 13 votes in favour of Mr. Sheridan getting the nomination were made up of one Fianna Fáil, two Sinn Féin, one AIN2 councillor and nine independents.
So where then does he go from here, Mark?
Rachel, Mr. Sheridan is now making his way to Tullamore, where he will address Offaly County Council this afternoon. And it will be here, where Mr. Sheridan first launched his campaign at the Tullamore show at the beginning of August, that he's now looking for a lifeline. I'm told by Gareth Sheridan's team that they are heartbroken after losing out on a nomination by one vote from Meath, but they are still holding out hope. It's really hard to know what way councillors in Offaly will vote, but should they back Mr. Sheridan, well then all attention will turn to Louth County Council's special meeting in Dundalk this evening. And in a statement from Louth County Council just in this lunchtime, they say candidates were advised that they should submit all the required documentation by a stipulated deadline of last Friday at 12 noon. They say that Mr. Sheridan did not submit the required documentation by this deadline and was subsequently advised that his participation in today's meeting could no longer be accommodated. Information submitted by Mr. Sheridan post-deadline, the statement says, will be considered by the members at the special meeting of Louth County Council in Dundalk this evening.
Mark, thank you very much. Mark O'Driscoll there in Navan in County Meath. Let's get more now from our political correspondent, Paul Cunningham. Paul, is Gareth Sheridan now running out of road?
I think that's probably the case. He would have been hoping that he could have got the support of Carlow on Friday. That didn't happen. Now Meath isn't falling for him. It seems to be narrowing his chances of being able to get onto the presidential ballot paper. I mean, he did make some significant developments. As Mark has been saying, he did get the nomination of two local authorities, and that's more than anyone else has done. But just getting as far as the four, it looks really tight.
Can we turn to the other independent hopeful? I mean, I know there's a long list out there, but the other one who's been making waves, and that's Maria Steen. Now, she has opted to seek the backing of 20 Oireachtas members, something else that can get you onto the ballot paper. As of now, how many TDs and senators does she have?
Well, what her campaign is saying is that she's got 13. And what she's going to do is to meet the four members of the Independent Ireland party later on this evening. And if she could get those four votes, it'll be 17. Now, Independent Ireland will hold a parliamentary party meeting tomorrow morning and they'll make an announcement. So that if it breaks for her, that means she'd be 17 and needing three more to get to 20. Some suggestion that maybe some in Fianna Fáil might be prepared to give her the nod to allow her to get onto the ballot paper. But the Minister of State, Timmy Dooley, was saying yesterday that any person who did that would fall foul of Fianna Fáil's rules and could face expulsion from the parliamentary party.
One of the other big stories today centres on the Fianna Fáil candidate Jim Gavin. He's been subjected to a series of online posts making allegations about his private life. What's he been saying about this?
Well, one thing he isn't doing is specifying what those allegations are. What he is doing is having a right go at social media companies and the abuse that they allow on their platforms. And he said every person in our country knows the real and growing threat posed by online hate and disinformation. And he referenced the fact that many young people have been, you know, it's been the cause of mental health. He also references that the Ceann Comhairle felt it necessary to address this issue in the Dáil yesterday. And what he says is that he's going to continue to take action wherever is necessary to confront what he calls this appalling feature of social media. He said it's just nasty and destructive and can't be tolerated.
Is this approach, Paul, is it something of a gamble in that many people across the country wouldn't have been aware of these allegations, but they probably are now?
I think that's the point, is that he was aware that there was a sort of a gathering momentum online, that more and more people had noticed it, and then he was, you know, in the horns of dilemma. Do I address it or do I pretend it's not there? I mean, it really was a difficult one. And I sort of, if you think back to 1979, the former president, Patrick Hillary, just as the Pope, John Paul II, was about to arrive, issued a statement about rumours that were floating around and said that he was not going to resign. And many people at that time also wouldn't have been aware what the rumour was, but the president felt the need to come out and say something about it. Indeed, Patrick Hillary said afterwards that he believed he knew who was behind this politically motivated claim. So I think to a certain extent Jim Gavin had the same problem, and I think he just felt he couldn't let it run for another 5 weeks. He had to deal with it head on.
Gosh, you're bringing us back now with that story from 1979. I think, was it, he brought in a number of political correspondents, including our old RTE colleague Sean Dignan, and they came out afterwards and reported what had been going on.
Indeed, and some of those august members of the press who went before the president weren't aware about the rumours that the president was talking about, so they had to scratch their heads and try and get to the bottom of it. But I think it's that same thing. He was aware, President Hillary, that there was this disinformation out there. He was aware that some people knew it, was aware that an awful lot of people didn't, but felt, you know, the judgment he had to make was that he had to deal with it head on. And I think that's where Jim Gavin found himself. Indeed, if you put Jim Gavin's name into some social media engines up to this point, you were finding hints and suggestions that you should be going that way. Now, one of the things that Jim Gavin has done is that he's written to the tech giants Meta, X, TikTok, and demanded that such material is taken down, that they, the companies, have the responsibility to deal with this. And up to this point, he feels they haven't done that.
At least Patrick Hillary never had to contend with Twitter. Paul, thank you very much for that. Paul Cunningham, our political correspondent.